U.S. Senate seat, which has been the focus so far of this morning, and the governor's appointment and authority to appoint that seat. What we will be hearing later is to deal with more of a pending legislation, a legislation that was to help the Illinois horse racing industry. And the bill was pending on the governor's desk at the time. And the governor, according to the what we have been told and what the criminal complaint outlines, is that the governor was trying to extort campaign contributions in exchange for action on that piece of legislation. So that is what we will hear sometime
later
today.
In the meantime, they're distributing copies of news articles, I think, that were carried, published in the Chicago Tribune. That apparently caught the governor's attention.
That's right, and editorials at times, and certain things that, of course, the governor is alleged to have tried to get certain members of the Tribune editorial board fired from their job in exchange for providing help for the Tribune company, in which he proposed doing that, allegedly, in which he would help them with Wrigley Field, which the Tribune company owns, or at least has owned. A sale is pending at this point. But again, all of this adding up to most of what has already been out there in that criminal complaint. But again, going over it once again in day two of this Senate trial, and the trial apparently about ready to resume once again. Just once again to point out, while we have just a moment there, that Daniel Kane, a special FBI agent, is on the stand. He is testifying, the only witness so far today, and he is being questioned by David Ellis, who is the House special prosecutor. And he is the one who is handling the prosecution in the Illinois Senate trial. Again, day two of this trial, we have been asking around trying to find out exactly how long this entire process might last. Different takes. Many of them think that this could wrap up or two, possibly, of testimony, maybe a little bit more, but we could see a Senate vote sometime this week. Now, the governor has been appearing. He is not at this trial, but he's been appearing on national talk shows, doing that again today. And the governor, apparently, on one of those talk shows, would not rule out some type of legal action to at least attempt to remain in office, maybe challenging the impeachment rules here in Illinois. So we'll be watching for that as well, but so far nothing that we're aware of has been filed.
Associated Press in New York, the governor said he would respect the law and the Constitution and the rules if lawmakers vote him out of office.
I'm going to begin with paragraph 70, and that is on page 41 of the affidavit. Paragraph 70. Media accounts reflect that Tribune owner, who acquired effective control of the Tribune company as a result of a financial transaction in 2007, has sought to sell the Chicago Cubs, currently owned by the Tribune company, and to use the proceeds of that sale to pay debt associated with his acquisition of the Tribune company. Media accounts also reflect that final bids for the purchase of the Cubs were due by November 26, 2008. That Tribune owner needs the proceeds from the sale of the Cubs to pay down debt associated with the Tribune company acquisition, and that a loan agreement relating to his purchase of the Tribune company may require Tribune owner to accelerate payments if he is unable to reduce the debt by specified amounts. Agent, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was, to the best of my belief and knowledge.
Yes. Paragraph 71, which I believe is on page 42. Based on a review of intercepted phone calls, it appears that the Tribune Company, in connection with its efforts to sell the Cubs, has explored the possibility of obtaining financial assistance from the Illinois Finance Authority, or IFA, relating to the financing or sale of Wrigley Field. During the course of this investigation, agents have intercepted a series of communications regarding the efforts of Rod Blagojevich and John Harris to corruptly use the power and influence of the Office of the Governor to cause the firing of Chicago Tribune editorial board members as a condition of State of Illinois financial assistance in connection with Wrigley Field. The phone calls reflect that Rod Blagojevich directed John Harris to inform Tribune owner and an associate of Tribune owner, Tribune financial advisor, who is believed to be an individual identified in media accounts as a top assistant and financial advisor to Tribune owner, who played a significant role in Tribune owner's purchase of the Tribune, that State of Illinois financial assistance for the Tribune Company's sale of Wrigley Field would not be forthcoming unless members of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board were fired. Set out below are summaries of certain of those conversations. This affidavit does not include all calls dealing with the corrupt efforts of Rod Blagojevich and John Harris to misuse their influence over the expenditure of state funds to cause the firing of employees of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Was paragraph 71 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
Turning to paragraph 72 on page 43. Pardon me. This will be the first of the intercepted phone conversations. I apologize, conversations, phone or otherwise. On the evening of November 3rd, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked to Deputy Governor A. Rod Blagojevich stated that he was concerned about possibly being impeached in the spring and that the Chicago Tribune will be, quote, driving, close quote, the impeachment discussion. Rod Blagojevich asked Deputy Governor A to check to see if the Tribune has recently, quote, advocated that he be impeached. In fact, the Chicago Tribune recently had published editorials critical of Rod Blagojevich. And for the record, we have dispatched a number of those editorials for the senators during the break. And they have all been admitted into the record. Agent, was paragraph 72 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Three, same date between Rod Blagojevich and Deputy Governor A that occurred a short time later on November 3rd, 2008. Rod Blagojevich and Deputy Governor A discussed an editorial from the Chicago Tribune regarding the endorsement of Michael Madigan and Rod Blagojevich. During the call, Rod Blagojevich's wife can be heard in the background telling Rod Blagojevich to tell Deputy Governor A to, quote, hold up that effing Cubs blank, blank them. Rod Blagojevich, close quote, Rod Blagojevich asked Deputy Governor A what he thinks of his wife's idea. Deputy Governor A stated that there's a part of what Rod Blagojevich's wife said that he, quote, agrees with, close quote. Deputy Governor A told Rod Blagojevich that Tribune owner will say that he does not have anything to do with the editorials, quote, but I would tell him, look, if you want to get your Cubs thing done, get rid of this Tribune, close quote. Later, Rod Blagojevich's wife got on the phone and, during the continuing discussion of the critical Tribune editorials, stated that Tribune owner can, quote, just fire the writers because Tribune owner owns the Tribune. Rod Blagojevich's wife stated that if Tribune owner's papers were hurting his business, Tribune owner would do something about the editorial board. Rod Blagojevich then got back on the phone. Rod Blagojevich told Deputy Governor A to put together the articles in the Tribune that are on the topic of removing Rod Blagojevich from office, and they will then have someone, like John Harris, go to Tribune owner and say, quote, we've got some decisions to make now. Rod Blagojevich said that, quote, someone should say, pardon me. Rod Blagojevich said that, quote, someone should say, get rid of those people. Rod Blagojevich said that he thinks that they should put this all together and then have Harris or somebody go talk to the Tribune owners and say, quote, look, we've got decisions to make now. Moving this stuff forward, believed to be a reference to the IFA helping with the Cubs sale. Someone's got to go to Tribune owner. We want to see him. It's a political effing operation in there. Close quote. Deputy Governor A agreed and said that Harris needs to be, quote, sensitive about how he does it. Rod Blagojevich said there's nothing sensitive about how you do it and that it's, quote, straightforward. And you say, quote, we're doing this stuff for you. We believe this is right for Illinois and this is a big deal to Tribune owner financially, close quote. But what Rod Blagojevich is doing to help Tribune owner is the same type of action that the Tribune is saying should be the basis for Rod Blagojevich's impeachment. Rod Blagojevich said Tribune owner should be told, quote, maybe we can't do this now. Fire those blanks. Close quote. Deputy Governor A suggested that Rod Blagojevich say, quote, I'm not sure that we can do this anymore because we've been getting a ton of these editorials that say, look, we're going around the legislature. We got to stop, and this is something the legislature hasn't approved. We don't want to go around the legislature anymore. Close quote. Rod Blagojevich agreed and said that he wants Harris to go in and make that case, quote, not me. Close quote. Deputy Governor A agreed and said that he likes it. Rod Blagojevich asked Deputy Governor A to put the list of Tribune articles together. Agent, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
I'm going to take you now to paragraph 74 on page 45 of your affidavit. During another intercepted call still later on the evening of November 3, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Advisor A, a former deputy governor under Rod Blagojevich, who is currently a lobbyist. Rod Blagojevich stated that he is going to go to Tribune owner and tell Tribune owner that Rod Blagojevich will not help Tribune owner because Tribune owner's own paper will argue to impeach Rod Blagojevich for his actions in helping Tribune owner. Rod Blagojevich stated, they are going to go to Tribune owner, quote, before we pull the trigger on this deal, close quote, believed to be a reference to helping Tribune owner at the IFA. Was paragraph 74 true and accurate to the best of your belief at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to paragraph 75 on page 46. During an intercepted call on November 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with Deputy Governor A. Rod Blagojevich told Deputy Governor A to think about the, quote, Tribune stuff, and that he is going to talk to Harris as well. Deputy Governor A confirmed that he has people doing the research right now. Rod Blagojevich, in discussing taking the issue to Tribune owner, stated, quote, then we'll say, look, we got a problem at IFA. Here it is. Close quote. Agent, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed the affidavit?
Yes.
Okay. Staying on that same date, November 4th, paragraph 76. During a subsequent intercepted call on November 4th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Blagojevich discussed the Tribune editorials, suggesting that Rod Blagojevich be impeached, and told Harris that they need to have a conversation with, quote, quote, Tribune financial advisor, close quote. In a parenthetical, it says, as noted above, Tribune financial advisor is believed to be a top advisor to Tribune owner who played a significant role in Tribune owner's purchase of the Tribune. Now that I've read that parenthetical, I'd like to reread that sentence without the parenthetical so it's understandable. Rod Blagojevich discussed the Tribune editorials suggesting that Rod Blagojevich be impeached and told Harris that they need to have a conversation with Tribune financial advisor, Cubs chairman, and Tribune owner, and explain that the Tribune is writing editorials criticizing Rod Blagojevich for taking actions like those Tribune owner wants Rod Blagojevich to take on this Cubs deal at the IFA. Rod Blagojevich stated that because of the impeachment articles, quote, we don't know if we can take a chance and do this IFA deal now. I don't want to give them a grounds to impeach me. Close quote. Rod Blagojevich stated that our recommendation is fire all those effing people, get them the F out of there, and get us some editorial support. Was paragraph 76 accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Moving to the date of November 5th, the following day, an intercepted phone call between the governor and his chief of staff, and that's paragraph 77, which I believe is on page 47. During an intercepted call on November 5th, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked to John Harris, Advisor A, and Spokesman, a state of Illinois employee who is the official spokesperson for the governor's office. During part of the conversation, Rod Blagojevich instructed Harris to call someone at the Tribune and, quote, lay a foundation with them, close quote. Harris agreed to call Tribune financial advisor. Rod Blagojevich told Harris to tell Tribune financial advisor, quote, this is a serious thing now, close quote, and that the, quote, only, quote, way around it is around the legislature, and that the Tribune is trumping up impeachment discussions because I do this stuff to get things done, close quote. Rod Blagojevich told Harris to tell Tribune financial advisor that, quote, everything is lined up, but before we go to the next level, we need to have a discussion about what you guys are going to do about that newspaper, close quote. Harris stated that he, quote, won't be so direct, close quote. Rod Blagojevich told Harris, quote, yeah, you know what you got to say, close quote. Agent, was that paragraph 77 accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Moving to the following day, November 6th, in paragraph 78. During intercepted calls on November 6, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich mentioned a Chicago Tribune editorial published that day about, quote, disservices, quote, close quote, Rod Blagojevich had done to the state of Illinois and suggested that Harris called Tribune financial advisor about it. Rod Blagojevich and Harris then discussed a conversation Harris had with Tribune financial advisor the prior day. Harris said he told Tribune financial advisor that things, quote, look like they could move ahead fine, but, you know, there's a risk that all of this is going to get derailed by your own editorial page, close quote. Harris said that he told Tribune financial advisor that they need to have a discussion on how they might tone things down and change the focus of that page. Harris said that Tribune financial advisor said that is a delicate issue, that Tribune financial advisor wanted to come in and talk to Harris about it, and that Tribune financial advisor will talk to Tribune owner preliminarily about it. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich and Harris talked about an upcoming meeting Harris will have with an individual at the Tribune, believed to be Tribune financial advisor. Harris stated that he will tell the individual that in Harris's experience, you cannot, quote, tread lightly, and, quote, and you need to, quote, make wholesale changes, close quote. Harris stated that he will, quote, throw it out there and let them figure out how to do it. Rod Blagojevich stated that Harris's suggestion will be to, quote, get rid of these people, close quote, and that, quote, the other point you want to make is, in fact, we sure would like to get some editorial support from your paper, okay? Harris stated, quote, I want to do that in person, close quote. Harris stated that they will not get editorial support, quote, out of the current crew, period. Rod Blagojevich said, quote, this is a priority. Stay on it. I mean, he gets the message, doesn't he? Close quote. Harris replied, quote, oh yeah, he got it loud and clear. Close quote. In apparent reference to the prospect of IFA assistance for the Wrigley Field deal, Rod Blagojevich then asked, quote, what does this mean to them? Like $500 million? What does it mean to Tribune owner in real terms? Close quote. Harris replied, quote, to them, about $100 million, maybe $150. Rod Blagojevich said he thought it was, quote, let me start that sentence over. Rod Blagojevich said that he thought, quote, it was worth like $500 million to him, close quote. Rod Blagojevich and Harris then discussed the details of the deal the Cubs are trying to get through the IFA. Harris said that it is basically a tax mitigation scheme where the IFA will, quote, own title to the building, close quote, believed to be Wrigley Field, and the Tribune will not, quote, have to pay capital gains tax. Harris explained that the total gain to the Tribune is in the neighborhood of $100 million. Rod Blagojevich said, $100 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's still worth something, isn't it? Close quote. Harris said he planned on seeing Tribune financial advisor the following Monday, November 10th, 2008. Agent Kane, was paragraph 78 accurate to the best of your knowledge when you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So that discussed an upcoming conversation on November 10th. I'd like to go to the day after that, November 11th, in paragraph 79. During an intercepted call on November 11, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich asked Harris about the Tribune issue. I'm sorry, just for the record, paragraph 79 is on page 49, if I've lost anyone. I'll start it over. Paragraph 79, during an intercepted call on November 11, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich asked Harris about the Tribune issue. Harris said that he met with Tribune financial advisor the prior day, November 10, 2008, and that Tribune financial advisor talked to Tribune owner, and Tribune owner, quote, got the message and is very sensitive to the issue, close quote. Harris stated that according to Tribune financial advisor, there will be, quote, certain corporate reorganizations and budget cuts coming, and reading between the lines, he's going after that section, close quote. Rod Blagojevich responded, oh, that's fantastic, close quote. According to Harris, Tribune financial advisor did not acknowledge that, quote, he interferes in that operation, but I got the clear feeling that he was very sensitive to our concerns, close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked Harris whether Tribune financial advisor understood the timeline in which Rod Blagojevich wanted changes made in relation to, quote, our ability to do this without the legislature, close quote, believed to be a reference to using IFA to help with the Cubs financing. Harris stated, quote, correct, November, December. Rod Blagojevich responded, quote, right. Harris said that he expects, quote, before the end of this month, there's going to be some reorganization or cuts, believed to be a reference to changes in the editorial board. Rod Blagojevich replied, quote, wow, okay, keep our fingers crossed. You're the man. Good job, John. Close quote. Agent Kane, was paragraph 79 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Moving to November 20th, an intercepted phone call on that date and paragraph 80. And this is on page 50. During an intercepted call on November 20, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich began the conversation by asking Harris whether Harris is, quote, making any progress on that Tribune editorial board with Tribune financial advisor, close quote. Harris said he had not heard back from Tribune financial advisor. Rod Blagojevich directed Harris to, quote, be smart and stay on top of that, close quote, and advised Harris that spokesman just informed Rod Blagojevich that the Tribune editorial board was not willing to listen to Deputy Governor A and basically hung up on Deputy Governor A. Rod Blagojevich told Harris to touch base with spokesman and Deputy Governor A. Rod Blagojevich told Harris to, quote, keep talking to Tribune financial advisor about this. Rod Blagojevich then suggested that Harris could say the following to Tribune financial advisor. What are we going to do? We've got this IFA thing. We want to do all this. How's that going? Close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked Harris if he understood what Rod Blagojevich wants and told Harris to, quote, use your judgment. Agent Kane, was paragraph 80 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
Moving to paragraph 81 on page 51. During an intercepted call on November 21, 2008, Rod Blagojevich spoke with John Harris. Rod Blagojevich asked Harris whether he told Deputy Governor A that, quote, McCormick is going to get bounced at the Tribune. McCormick is believed to be John P. McCormick, the Chicago Tribune's deputy editorial page editor. Harris said, quote, no, I told him, meaning Deputy Governor A, that McCormick is in a bad mood, close quote, and that Harris was going, quote, to check with Tribune financial advisor to see whether it was part of that message about the cuts on the Ed board. Harris stated, I had singled out McCormick as somebody who is the most biased and unfair, close quote. Rod Blagojevich responded, quote, to Tribune financial advisor you did, close quote. Harris confirmed that it was to Tribune financial advisor. Rod Blagojevich stated, quote, that would be great, close quote, and McCormick is a, quote, bad guy. Rod Blagojevich asked, quote, Tribune financial advisor is on top of this, right? Harris replied that Tribune financial advisors said they would be, quote, downsizing that division or changing personnel, and that Tribune financial advisor understands and Tribune owner understands. Rod Blagojevich confirmed that Harris made the point with Tribune financial advisor that the Tribune is advocating that Rod Blagojevich be impeached for going around the legislature, and that, quote, is precisely what we're doing on Wrigley Field, close quote. Harris said he explained that information to Tribune financial advisor. Rod Blagojevich asked whether Tribune financial advisor understood that, quote, we are not in a position where we can afford to do that if the Tribune is pushing impeachment, close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked, they got that, right? Harris replied, right. Harris suggested to Rod Blagojevich that Harris explained to Tribune financial advisor that the Tribune editorials discussing impeachment, quote, could jeopardize our efforts to do good things for people as well as the other thing, helping the Cubs sale at the IFA. Rod Blagojevich responded, there you go. He got the message. Harris replied, quote, yeah. Rod Blagojevich stated, good. Paragraph 82, on November 21, 2008, approximately 5 minutes after the previous conversation with John Harris, Rod Blagojevich spoke again with Harris. At the end of this call, Rod Blagojevich stated that the Tribune thing is important, if we can get that. Okay. Harris replied, delicate. Very delicate. Rod Blagojevich said, quote, I know, use your judgment. Don't push too hard. But you know what you got to do, right? Harris responded, all right, sir. I think I have to ask you a question about paragraphs 81 and 82. For the last two paragraphs that I've read, were those paragraphs true and accurate at the time, to the best of your knowledge, at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, sir, they were.
Thank you. I'd like to shift topics. Topics now, if I could, and move to a set of allegations contributions, which begins, if I'm going chronologically, at paragraph 16, and I'll try to get the page number for you. Page 9. The heading above paragraph 16, section A, states evidence concerning the solicitation and receipt of campaign contributions in return for official acts by Rod Blagojevich prior to October 2008. And the heading under that, subsection 1, information provided by Ali Atta. Paragraph 16, as discussed in more detail in the following paragraphs, Ali Atta testified under oath in the spring Rod Blagojevich a potential appointment to a high-level position with the state of Illinois, while a $25,000 data was sitting on a table in front of Rod Blagojevich. Atta further testified that later, after Atta made another substantial contribution to Friends of Blagojevich, Rod Blagojevich told Atta that he was aware of the donation, that he understood that Atta would be joining his administration, and that Atta better get a job, quote, where Atta can make some money. 16 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
All right. Moving to paragraph 17. Atta is a businessman who, in May 2008, as part of a cooperation agreement with the government, pled guilty to making false statements to the FBI and to tax fraud. Pursuant to his cooperation agreement, the government has interviewed Atta extensively regarding a number of topics, including his knowledge of and involvement in at the criminal trial of Antoine Rezko, referred to as the Rezko trial, in May 2008. Portions of Atta's testimony are directly relevant to the current investigation. In summary and in relevant part, Atta testified as follows during the Resco trial. Agent, was paragraph 17 accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Paragraph 18. In or about 2000 or 2001, at a meeting with Atta, Rod Blagojevich, who at the time was a member of the United States House of Representatives, told Atta that he was contemplating a run for higher office and asked for Atta's support. Atta agreed to support him. Thereafter, Atta observed that Rez was close to Rod Blagojevich and was very involved in fundraising for Rod Blagojevich's campaign, including overseeing Atta's own fundraising efforts on behalf of Rod Blagojevich. Agent, was paragraph 18 true at the time you signed this affidavit, to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Paragraph 19. In or about 2002, Atta had several conversations with Resco regarding the possibility of a high-level appointment for Atta in state government, should Rod Blagojevich be elected. In his direction, Atta put together a list of three state agencies to which he would be interested in being appointed, including the Capital Development Board. Agent, was that paragraph true, to the best of your knowledge, at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Paragraph 20. In or about August 2002, Atta held a small fundraising event for Rod Blagojevich that Rod Blagojevich attended. In advance of that fundraising event, Atta committed to Resco that Atta would raise $25,000 at that event, which he eventually did, personally contributing at least $5,000. Was that paragraph true at the time you executed this affidavit, to the best of your knowledge, sir?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 21. I'm sorry, and page 11 is where we are at this point. I apologize. Later that year, Resco approached Atta for additional monetary support for Rod Blagojevich. Atta agreed to contribute $25,000 in additional monies to the campaign of Rod Blagojevich. Atta subsequently, and by prior arrangement with Resco, brought a check in this amount to Resco's offices on North Elston Avenue in Chicago. After he arrived at Resco's offices, Atta was greeted by Resco, to whom he handed the check in an envelope. Resco, carrying the check, ushered Atta into a conference room where he met with Resco and Rod Blagojevich. Resco placed the envelope containing Atta's $25,000 check to Rod Blagojevich's campaign on the conference room table between himself and Rod Blagojevich and stated to Rod Blagojevich that Atta had been a good supporter, a team player, and that Atta would be willing to join Rod Blagojevich's administration. Rod Blagojevich expressed his pleasure and acknowledged that Atta had been a good supporter and good friend. Rod Blagojevich, in Atta's presence, asked Resco if Resco had talked to Atta about positions in the administration. And Resco responded, Agent, was paragraph 21 true and accurate at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, sir.
Taking you to paragraph 22, page 12. After this meeting, Atta completed an application for a state appointment. In or about early 2003, Resco informed Atta that he was going to be appointed to head the State Capital Development Board. Resco subsequently informed Atta that this position was going to someone else. And that another position would have to be found for Atta. Later, Resco discussed an opportunity for Atta formed Illinois Finance Authority. Agent Kane, was paragraph 22 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay, paragraph 23, same page. In or about July 2003, Resco asked Atta to make an additional $50,000 contribution to the campaign of Rod Blagojevich. Atta agreed to contribute the same amount as he had previously, namely $25,000. Atta made this contribution on or about July 25, 2003, by check payable to Rod Blagojevich's campaign. Atta gave this check to Resco. Thereafter, Atta had a conversation with Rod Blagojevich at a large fundraising event at Navy Pier. During this conversation, Rod Blagojevich told Atta that Atta had been a good supporter indicated that Rod Blagojevich was aware that Otta had made another substantial donation to Rod Blagojevich's campaign and told Otta that he understood that Otta would be joining his administration. Otta responded that he was considering taking a position, and Rod Blagojevich stated that it had better be a job where Otta could make some money. Was paragraph 23 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes.
Paragraph 24 on page 13. Otta was surprised by this comment by Rod Blagojevich and said something to Rezko about it the next time Otta saw Rezko. When Otta told Rezko that Rod Blagojevich had said words to the effect of, it had better be a job where you can make some money, Rezko responded that he was not surprised and had heard Rod Blagojevich say things like that before. Was this paragraph true to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you signed the affidavit, sir?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. I am now going to move to the next heading that is listed in this affidavit, which is information provided by Joseph Carey. Again, we are on page 13, and I'm going to begin with paragraph 25. Carey further testified that he had similar conversations with Rezko and Chris Kelly, who specifically offered him State of Illinois work in exchange for Carey's assistance with various fundraising matters. In summary and in relevant part, Carey testified as follows during the Rezko trial. Was paragraph 25 accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit, Mr. Kane?
Yes, it was.
Moving to paragraph 26, page 14. Carey was a significant fundraiser for Democratic causes and was previously the national finance chair for Vice President Al Gore's 2000 presidential campaign. During his testimony, Carey described meetings that he had with Rod Blagojevich, Chris Kelly, Rezko, and Stuart Levine. In particular, on approximately October 29, 2003, Carey, Rod Blagojevich, Kelly, Levine, and others rode on an airplane arranged by Levine to a fundraiser in New York, being hosted by Carey on behalf of Rod Blagojevich. During the plane ride, Carey had a conversation with Rod Blagojevich. During the conversation, Carey and Rod Blagojevich discussed Carey's fundraising background and work as a national fundraiser. Rod Blagojevich discussed his interest in running for President of the United States. During the conversation, Rod Blagojevich informed Carey that it was easier for governors to solicit campaign contributions because governors had the ability to, quote, award contracts, close quote, and give legal work, consulting work, and investment banking work to campaign contributors. Rod Blagojevich informed Carey that Rezko and Kelly were his point people in raising campaign contributions. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich told Carey that there were State of Illinois contracts and other State of Illinois work that could be given to contributors who helped Rod Blagojevich, Rezko, and Kelly. Carey testified that Rod Blagojevich ended the conversation with Carey by informing Carey that Rezko and Kelly would follow up with Carey in relation to the discussion that had just occurred. Agent, was the paragraph I just read true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Turning to paragraph 27 on page 15. At one point during the October 29, 2003 New York fundraiser, Carey and Levine had a conversation. Carey testified that during the conversation, Levine informed Carey that there was a plan in place in the Blagojevich administration pursuant to which Rezko and Kelly would pick consultants to do business with the State of Illinois boards, and thereafter the consultants would be asked to make campaign contributions. Was that paragraph true to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit, sir?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 28. Carey also testified about a conversation. I'm sorry. Paragraph 28 is on page 15. Carey also testified about a conversation he had with Rezko at Rezko's office. Levine was also present for the conversation. According to Kerry, Rezko informed Kerry that Rezko had a close relationship with the Blagojevich administration, and Rezko had a role in picking consultants and law firms and other entities to get State of Illinois business. Rezko informed Kerry that Rezko called Rod Blagojevich's chief of staff, Lon Monk, and Monk would help implement Rezko's choices for certain State of Illinois work. Rezko informed Kerry that in exchange for raising money for Rod Blagojevich, the Blagojevich administration would be financially helpful to Kerry's business interests. Agent Kane, was paragraph 28 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Okay, turning to paragraph 29, page 15. On approximately March 5, 2004, Kerry met with Kelly at a restaurant. Kerry testified that Kelly stated that Kelly was following up on Kerry's conversations with Rod Blagojevich, Rezko, and Levine. Kelly then requested Kerry's help in raising money on a national level for Rod Blagojevich. Kerry, as he had in the past, indicated he was not inclined to assist Rod Blagojevich. In response, Kelly pushed Kerry to assist Rod Blagojevich and informed Kerry that helping Rod Blagojevich would be good for Kerry's business interests, and that Kerry, quote, could have whatever Kerry wanted, close quote, which Kerry understood to be a reference to getting Kerry's business interests, whatever State of Illinois work Kerry wanted, if Kerry helped raise money on a national level for Rod Blagojevich. The conversation ended shortly thereafter. Agent Kane, was paragraph 29 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And finally, paragraph 30, page 16. Thank you. Kerry testified that he eventually became involved in the attempted extortion of JER, a real estate investment firm that was seeking an investment from the Teachers Retirement System, TRS. Details regarding corruption at TRS involving one of its board members, Stuart Levine, are set forth below. Based on his conversations with Rod Blagojevich, Rezko, Kelly, and Levine, in which he was informed that consultants would be inserted into State of Illinois transactions and then solicited for campaign contributions, Kerry believed the JER needed to hire a consultant. Kerry testified that he informed employees of JER that they needed to hire a consultant and that in Illinois, quote, the governor and the people around the governor, quote, pick the consultants to be used on particular deals. Kerry informed JER employees that if they did not hire the consultant, that JER would not receive the money it was seeking from the State of Illinois. Ultimately, JER exposed the attempted extortion and received money from the State of Illinois. Agent Kane, was paragraph 30 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
I would like to move to paragraph 35, if I could, which deals with allegations related to the Health Facilities Planning Board. That will be found on page 19 for the members. Paragraph 35. As described more fully in the following paragraphs, Mercy Hospital, which sought permission from the Planning Board to build a hospital in Illinois, received that permission through Rezko's exercise of his influence at the Planning Board, after Rezko was promised that Mercy Hospital would make a substantial campaign contribution to Rod Blagojevich. Rezko later told a member of the Planning Board that Mercy Hospital received the permit because Rod Blagojevich wanted the organization to receive the permit. Agent, was that paragraph 35 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Paragraph 36, which is also on page 19. Levine's criminal activities included his abuse of his position on the Planning Board to enrich both himself and friends of Blagojevich. The Planning Board was a commission of the State of Illinois, established by statute, whose members were appointed by the governor of the State of Illinois. At the relevant time period, the Planning Board consisted of 9 individuals. State law required an entity seeking to build a hospital, medical office building, or other medical facility to obtain a permit, which is known as a Certificate of Need, or CON, from the Planning Board prior to beginning construction. Agent, was paragraph 36 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
Moving to paragraph 37 on page 20. Levine, as well as planning board members Thomas Beck and Imad Almanasir, testified under oath at the Resco trial. Beck testified that he asked Resco to reappoint him to the planning board and that Beck thereafter followed Resco's directions regarding which CON applications Resco wanted approved. Beck testified that it was his job to communicate Resco's interests, in particular CONs, to other members of the planning board, including Almanasir, who were loyal to Resco. Beck testified that he understood that Resco spoke for the Blagojevich administration when Resco spoke to Beck about particular CONs. Almanasir testified that Beck instructed him that Resco wanted Almanasir to vote a particular way and that Almanasir should follow Levine's lead in voting on CONs. Almanasir testified that before certain planning board meetings, he received note cards from Beck indicating how to vote on certain CON applications. Beck testified he provided these note cards to Almanasir and certain other members of the planning board to communicate Resco's directions about certain CON applications. Resco has admitted that he manipulated the Mercy vote based on Mercy's agreement to make a contribution to Rod Blagojevich, which agreement he states was communicated to Rod Blagojevich. But he denies that Levine offered a personal bribe to Resco as well. In connection with this investigation, Stephen Loren pled guilty to interfering with the due administration of the Internal Revenue Service. In exchange for his continued and truthful cooperation, the government has agreed to move the court for a 5K1.1 departure, and his counsel is free to seek any sentence, including probation. Loren has no other criminal history. Pursuant to his cooperation agreement, Loren testified at the Resco trial. Agent, was paragraph 37 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was, and I believe your last references were to footnotes 10 and 11.
I apologize.
Application?
Yes, you are correct.
And those are also true and accurate to the best of my knowledge and belief.
Thank you for that clarification, sir. Paragraph 38 on page 21. During his testimony, Levine described a plan to manipulate the planning board to enrich himself and friends of Blagojevich. The plan centered on an entity commonly known as Mercy Hospital, or Mercy, that was attempting to obtain a CON to build a new hospital in Illinois. Levine knew the contractor hired to help build the hospital. In approximately November 2003, on behalf of the contractor, Levine checked with Resco to determine whether Resco wanted Mercy to obtain its CON. Resco informed Levine that Mercy was not going to receive its CON. According to Levine, he asked Resco whether it would matter to Resco if Mercy's construction contractor paid a bribe to Resco and Levine, and in addition, made a contribution to Rod Blagojevich. Levine testified that Resco indicated that such an arrangement would change his view on the Mercy CON. Okay, and I guess that was where I should have been talking about footnote 10, which I will read again in context. This is footnote 10 to that paragraph. Resco has admitted that he manipulated the Mercy vote based on Mercy's agreement to make a contribution to Rod Blagojevich, which agreement he states was communicated to Rod Blagojevich, but denies that Levine offered a personal bribe to Resco as well. Agent, was paragraph 38 in the footnote true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Turn to paraph 39.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
You have a good deal left on your direct examination, don't you, sir?
Your Honor, I think I have three paragraphs on this topic. If you're looking for a break, if I could, that might make sense. And
sure. Go ahead and finish that topic.
I sure will. Thank you, sir.
When you believe you're at a good break point.
Okay. That will just be a few moments, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Agent, paragraph 39, Levine's testimony regarding Resco's actions to change the planning board decision concerning Mercy's application for a CON based on contributions for Rod Blagojevich is confirmed by attorney Stephen Loren. Loren testified at Resco's criminal trial and before that in the grand jury. According to Loren, in approximately December 2003, Levine informed Loren that Resco was against the Mercy CON. According to Loren, Levine relayed to Loren a conversation between Resco and Levine, during which Levine asked Resco whether a political contribution to Rod Blagojevich would make a difference for Mercy's CON, and Resco responded to Levine that such a contribution might make a difference. And then we have that footnote 11, which we talked about earlier. Was paragraph 39 true and accurate, to the best of your knowledge, at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Two more paragraphs on this topic. 40. Thereafter, and confirmed by the testimony of Levine, Beck, and Almanasir, as well as recorded conversations, Resco switched his directions to Beck and informed Beck that Mercy was to receive its CON. According to Almanasir, although he previously had been told by Beck that Resco did not want Mercy to receive its CON, he was later told there had been a change, and that Resco now wanted Mercy to receive that CON. Agent, was paragraph 40 true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes.
Thank you. Paragraph 41, and we are on page 22. Mercy received its CON as a result of a controversial and irregular vote at a public planning board meeting. The vote brought significant publicity to the planning board and ultimately led to the disbanding of the planning board. Almanasir testified under oath in the grand jury that not long after the planning board vote on Mercy's CON, he saw Resco at a fundraiser. According to Almanasir, he was still embarrassed about what had occurred at the planning board vote on Mercy's CON and Resco's role in the vote. Almanasir testified that he asked Resco why Resco had switched the vote on the Mercy CON. According to Almanasir, Resco stated the governor wanted it to pass. Almanasir understood the reference to governor to be a reference to Rod Blagojevich. And footnote 12 to that paragraph, there was extensive testimony regarding the irregularity of the vote at the planning board meeting. In summary, during the vote, Levine got up from his seat and went to speak to Beck and to Almanasir. After these discussions, Almanasir then changed his vote to be in favor of Mercy receiving its CON. Beck then voted in favor as well, and by a vote of 5-4, Mercy's application for a CON passed. Was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief, sir?
Yes, it was.
Your Honor, that would complete a subject matter. We have only a few brief topics left, certainly somewhat lengthy. I think if this would be a good time to take a break, that would make some sense.
At this time, the Senate will stand recessed till 1:15. Every effort will be made to be back at precisely that time. The Senate is recessed.
And the Senate trial of impeachment trial of Governor Rod Blagojevich taking a lunch break here, and they, correct me, Sean, I think they said they're going to return to session at about 1:15.
That's right, and the Justice Thomas Fitzgerald saying they would make every effort to get back by that time, so another 1:15 or so, it looks
just,
like they will be out.
To alert our listeners, we're going to be going to our noon hour news block here with NPR News and WUIS News coming up shortly, and in the meantime, the prosecutor, David Ellis, will continue his presentation this afternoon, Sean. And who else do we know is on the agenda, so to speak?
And we break away now from Illinois Public Radio coverage of day two of the impeachment trial of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. 1 minute before noon, we will rejoin Illinois Public Radio in the 1 o'clock hour today for continued coverage. This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Let's take a look at commodity prices in Kansas City. March wheat is is trading at 618 and a half. That's down 3 1/4. May, 632, down 3/4. March wheat in Chicago, 590, down 2 1/2. May, 601, down 4 1/4. March corn, 384, down 9 3/4. May, 397, down 7 3/4. July, 406 and a half, down 8 3/4. September, 416, down 9 3/4. March soybeans, 985, down 24. May, 993, down 23 3/4. July, 1001, down 23. March meal, 310.